Chapter 5, The Squirrel Obliges. Something strange had happened to the squirrel's brain. Things had gone blank, black. And then, into this black blankness, there came a light so beautiful, so bright, that the squirrel had to turn away. A voice spoke to him. "What's that?" said the squirrel. The light shone brighter. The voice spoke again. "Okay," said the squirrel. "You bet." He wasn't sure what exactly he was agreeing to, but it didn't matter. He was just so happy. He was floating in a great lake of light, and the voice was singing to him. Oh, it was wonderful. It was the best thing ever. And then there was a loud noise. The squirrel heard another voice. This voice was counting. The light receded. "Breathe," the new voice shouted. The squirrel obliged. He took a deep, shuddering breath, and then another, and another. The squirrel returned. Chapter 6, In the Event of a Seizure. "Well, he's breathing," said Mrs. Tickham. "Yes," said Flora, "he is." She felt a swell of pride. The squirrel rolled over onto his stomach. He raised his head. His eyes were glazed. "For heaven's sake," said Mrs. Tickham. "Look at him." She chuckled quietly. She shook her head, and then she laughed out loud. She kept laughing. She laughed and laughed and laughed. She laughed so hard that she started to shake. Was she having some kind of fit? Flora tried to remember what "terrible things can happen to you" advised in the event of a seizure. It had something to do with moving the tongue out of the way or stabilizing it with a stick or something. Flora had saved the squirrel's life. She didn't see any reason she couldn't save Mrs. Tickham's tongue. The sun sank a little lower in the sky. Mrs. Tickham continued to laugh hysterically, and Flora Bell Buckman started looking around the Tickham's backyard for a stick. Chapter 7, The Soul of a Squirrel. The squirrel was a little unsteady on his feet. His brain felt larger, roomier. It was as if doors in the dark room had his self. Pardon me. It was as if doors in the dark room of his self, doors he hadn't even known existed, had suddenly been flung wide. Everything was shot through with meaning, purpose, light. However, the squirrel was still a squirrel, and he was hungry. Very. Who can say what astonishments are hidden inside the most mundane being? Chapter 8, Helpful Information. Flora and Mrs. Tickham noticed at the same time. "The squirrel," said Flora. "The vacuum cleaner," said Mrs. Tickham. Together, they stared at the Ulysses 2000X and at the squirrel, who was holding it over his head with one paw. "That can't be," said Mrs. Tickham. The squirrel shook the vacuum cleaner. "That can't be," said Mrs. Tickham. "You already said that," said Flora. "I'm repeating myself?" "Yeah, you're repeating yourself." "Maybe I have a brain tumor," said Mrs. Tickham. It was certainly possible that Mrs. Tickham had a brain tumor. Flora knew from reading, "Terrible things can happen to you," that a surprising number of people were walking around with tumors in their brains and didn't even know it. That was the thing about tragedy. It was just sitting there, keeping you company, waiting, and you had absolutely no idea. This was the kind of helpful information you could get from the comics if you paid attention. The other kind of information that you absorbed from the regular reading of comics. Most particularly, from the regular reading of the Illuminated Adventures of the Amazing Incandesto. Was that impossible things happened all the time? For instance, heroes, superheroes, were born of ridiculous and unlikely circumstances. Spider bites, chemical spills, planetary dislocation, and in the case of Alfred T. Slipper, from accidental submersion in an industrial-sized vat of cleaning solution called Incandesto, the cleaning professional's hard-working friend. "I don't think you have a brain tumor," said Flora. "There might be another explanation." "Uh-huh," said Mrs. Tickham. "What's the other explanation?" "Have you ever heard of Incandesto?" "What?" said Mrs. Tickham. "Who?" said Flora. "Incandesto is a who. He's a superhero." "Right," said Mrs. Tickham. "And your point is?" Flora raised her right hand. She pointed with a single finger at the squirrel. "Surely you're not implying," said Mrs. Tickham. The squirrel lowered the vacuum cleaner to the ground. He held himself very still. He considered both of them. His whiskers twitched and trembled. There were cracker crumbs on his head. He was a squirrel. Could he be a superhero too? Alfred T. Slipper was a janitor. Most of the time, people looked right past him. Sometimes, often in fact, they treated him with disdain. They had no idea of the astonishing acts of heroism, the blinding light contained within his outward humdrum disguise. Only Alfred's parakeet, Dolores, who knew who he was and what he could do. "The world will misunderstand him," said Flora. "You bet it will," said Mrs. Tickham. "Tootie," shouted Mr. Tickham from the back door. "Tootie, I'm hungry." "Tootie? What a ridiculous name." Flora couldn't resist the urge to say it out loud. "Tootie," she said. "Tootie Tickham." "Listen, Tootie, go inside. Feed your husband. Say nothing to him or to anyone else about any of this." "Right," said Tootie. "Say nothing. Feed my husband." "Okay, right." She began walking slowly toward the house. Mr. Tickham called out, "Are you done vacuuming? What about the Ulysses? Are you just going to leave it sitting there?" "Ulysses," whispered Flora. She felt a shiver run from the back of her head to the base of her spine. She might be a natural-born cynic, but she knew the right word when she heard it. "Ulysses," she said again. She bent down and held out her hand to the squirrel. "Come here, Ulysses," she said. Chapter 9. The Whole World on Fire. Just want to make sure this is still recording. She spoke to him, and he understood her. What the girl said was, "Ulysses, come here, Ulysses." And without thinking, he moved toward her. "It's okay," she said. And he believed her. It was astonishing. Everything was astonishing. The setting sun was illuminating each blade of grass. It was reflecting off the girl's glasses, making a halo of light around the girl's round head, setting the whole world on fire. The squirrel thought, "When did things become so beautiful? And if it has always been this way all along, how is it that I never noticed before?" "Listen to me," the girl said. "My name is Flora. Your name is Ulysses." "Okay," thought the squirrel. She put her hand on him. She picked him up. She cradled him in her left arm. He felt nothing but happiness. Why had he always been so terrified of humans? He couldn't imagine. Actually, he could imagine. There had been that time with the boy and the BB gun. There had, truthfully, been a lot of incidents with humans, some involving BB guns, some not, and all of them had been violent, terrifying, and soul-destroying. But this was a new life, and he was a changed squirrel. He felt spectacular, strong, smart, capable, and also hungry. He was very, very hungry. Chapter 10, Squirrel Smuggling. Flora's mother was in the kitchen. She was typing. She wrote on an old typewriter, and when she pounded the keys, the kitchen table shook, and the plates on the shelves rattled, and the silverware in the drawers cried out in a metallic kind of alarm. Flora had decided that this was part of the reason her parents had divorced. Not the noise of the writing, but the writing itself. Specifically, the writing of romance. Flora's father had said, "I think that your mother is so in love with her books about love that she doesn't love me anymore." And her mother had said, "Ha! Your father is so far off in left field that he wouldn't recognize love if it stood up in his soup and sang." Flora had a hard time imagining what love would be doing standing in a bowl of soup and singing. But these were the kind of idiotic words her parents spoke. And they said the words to each other, even though they were pretending that they were talking to Flora. It was all very annoying. "What are you doing?" her mother said to Flora. She was sucking on a pitzer pop. It made her words sound rocky and sharp-edged. Her mother used to smoke, and then she stopped. But she still had to have something in her mouth when she typed, so she consumed a lot of pitzer pops. This one was orange-flavored. Flora could smell it. "Oh, nothing," said Flora. She glanced at the squirrel in her arms. "Good," said her mother. She whacked the carriage return on the typewriter without looking up. She kept typing. "Are you still standing there?" her mother said. She typed some more words. She hit the carriage return again. "I'm on a deadline here. It's hard to concentrate with you standing over me breathing like that." "Well, I could stop breathing," said Flora. "Oh, don't be ridiculous," said her mother. "Go upstairs and wash your hands. We're going to eat soon." "Okay," said Flora. She walked past her mother and into the living room, still carrying Ulysses in the crook of her arm. It didn't seem possible, but it was true. She had smuggled the squirrel into the house, and she had done it right under her mother's nose, or behind her back, or something. In the living room, at the base of the stairs, the little shepherdess lamp was waiting, a pink-cheeked smirk plastered on her face. Flora hated the little shepherdess. Her mother had bought the lamp with her first royalty check from her first book, On Feathered Wings of Joy, which was the stupidest title for a book that Flora had ever heard in her life. Her mother had sent away to London for the lamp. When it arrived, she unpacked it and plugged it in, and then she clapped her hands and said, "Oh, she's so beautiful! Isn't she beautiful? I love her with all my heart." Flora's mother never called Flora beautiful. She never said that she loved her with all her heart. Luckily, Flora was a cynic and didn't care whether her mother loved her or not. I will call her Marianne, her mother had said. "Marianne?" said Flora. "You're going to name a lamp?" "Marianne, shepherdess to the lost," said her mother. "Who's lost, exactly?" said Flora. But her mother hadn't bothered to answer that question. "This," Flora said to the squirrel, "is the little shepherdess. Her name is Marianne. Unfortunately, she lives here too." The squirrel considered Marianne. Flora narrowed her eyes and stared at the lamp. She knew that it was ridiculous, but sometimes she felt as if Marianne knew something that she didn't know, that the little shepherdess was keeping some dark and terrible secret. "You stupid lamp," said Flora. "Mind your own business. Mind your sheep." Actually, there was just one sheep, a tiny lamb curled up at Marianne's pink-slippered feet. Flora always wanted to say to the little shepherdess, "If you're such a great shepherdess, where are the rest of your sheep, huh?" "We can just ignore her," said Flora to Ulysses. She turned away from the smug and glowing Marianne and climbed the stairs to her room, holding Ulysses gently and carefully in her arms. He didn't glow, but he was surprisingly warm for someone so small.